Well, good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Good? This is good. You're running the board today? Oh, you're giving Steve a break? Oh, awesome. Where'd he go? Okay, then. I didn't know he... Okay, fantastic. Will do. You can hit the recordo button. Oh, okay, good. Alrighty. I know. I'm just making sure that I usually tell everybody when to start recording so that all this other, you know. Fair enough. Alright then. I'm gonna start us off with some prayer and then we'll jump in. Amen? Amen. Alright, so Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your direction for this year. I thank you, Lord, that what you are setting up for us, this refinement that we are to go through this year, Lord, isn't just about improving our lives, but it's about becoming more and more made into the image of Jesus. There's a mission and a call and a plan for our life. And when we find our lives that have been hidden in you, our true identity or of who we are, God. To be anything but that, it just seems foolish. So as we embrace this time with your word this morning, I pray, Lord, for it to resound in our hearts as those seeds fall into fertile soil, God. They would take up root, they would grow in us, and they would produce fruit in our lives. That is visible, that is seen, and that is well-pleasing to you, Lord. We surrender this time to you. We thank you for your wonderful word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a very funny title this morning for the sermon, so if you're taking notes and you want to write that down, it is called Mind Business, not Mind Your Business, Mind Business. And it's coming off of last week's sermon where we were, spending some time with Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Micah, and going over that refinement process. But the thing that I left us off with is kind of at this end point where we are responding to God, and we're responding to what he has called us to do in his word. And when he asks us to have our minds renewed, what does a renewed mind accomplish? What is the point of having our minds renewed? Okay. And when I sat before the Lord and prayed about what he wanted to say to you guys this morning, that kind of question didn't like come out of me. It was more like coming out of my spirit in a way that it was like, have you thought about this? Have you pondered this? And I was just like, well, sort of. And then I started having a conversation with the Lord about it. And one of the things he enlightened me to is one of the things we believe about having our minds renewed means. And one of those things that we believe is that renewing your mind means changing your thought life. As though the things that you think about daily, the things you, you know, ponder over and dwell on, is that that's what you need to change in your life when you have your mind renewed. But that's not what the mind does. And the Lord brought that to my attention and I was just like, oh, that's really good. Is that what we're going to talk about today? And the Lord said, absolutely. And I said, oh, I'm liking this already. So we're on the same page. But what the Lord revealed to me and why the name of the sermon is called Mind Business is because he showed me that your mind operates like a business. You don't recognize it. God created us and we're uniquely and intricately made. But the mind, the organ of your brain, okay, the mind that we use on our lives daily is a business-like function. And in our mind is contained wisdom. And so wisdom is basically how the executive decisions that you make in your day, whether you know about those decisions or not, are made, right? You make decisions based off of wisdom, right? Experiences. If you know that you fell out of a tree when you were like 7 and you broke your ankle, right? Guess what you're probably not going to do next time? you're probably not going to go climb a tree or stupidly jump out of the tree thinking that you're Superman, right? Because you realize that falling out of a tree hurts. That's wisdom. And so you're now going to be inclined to making executive decisions about your life going forward. And that goes into all single, it goes into all different realms. It goes into the care that you take when you drive into work every day, right? The attention that you have to being alert while you drive. Why? Because you don't want to get in a car accident, because you don't want to have a major car payment. You don't want to have indebtedness. You don't want to have these things, because you see the ramifications of all those things throughout the life. Because how many people have been in car accidents? Mostly everybody gets in one, right? It usually happens when you're younger and stupid, but you understand the ramifications of a car accident that changes your attitude and how you drive. That's wisdom. You're making executive decisions for your life, right? But the business side of your mind is actually a business of imports and exports. Now, my mother over here knows very much about this ordeal, working for the Port Authority in the realm of imports and exports, having ships come in and having to know what's in the ship log and, you know, what's being brought on dock and then what's leaving the dock every single day for many, many years. So you understand this business very well. So you'll relate. And if anybody needs help understanding this business, you can talk to her offline. But the import aspect of our mind deals with the things that affect us internally, okay? So what we take in and how that applies and affects our internal operations is our import. And the export of our mind is how we affect our environment and those in it, okay? How successful then is your mind's business? Because what I've noticed, and why this is the message today, is that a lot of believers in Jesus Christ are operating their business in a deficit. They're taking more in and exporting less. And if you're not aware what that means, to receive import, you have to spend. But you make profit off of your export or what you deliver. But if you are not delivering more than what you are importing, you are operating at a deficit. You understand the mind business now. Okay. And so in order for our business of our mind to run optimally, we should be running more of an export and less of an import. It's not saying you don't have import, but you should be having more export than import. And that's why we need to have our minds renewed. And we'll get to that when we get to the bulk of the message, but hopefully you guys understand where we're going. Amen? So this is going to start off with Romans 12:2. And we already know the scripture. So, Ed, if you can throw that up there. But it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this verse, there's kind of a little bit of a mystery in it. Okay? Because we understand that our mind is what motivates our body to do the will of God, right? But in order for us to be able to do that, it must first be in line with the will of God. Okay? We cannot perform a will that we are not in line with. Hence the reason our minds need to be renewed. So if you turn to Proverbs 23... and verse 7, it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Yours might say, for as a man thinketh in his heart, that he is. It could be a different translation, whatever your version of it is. And I want you to recognize what that verse says, because what that verse is saying is that our thoughts are not coming from our mind. They are coming from where? In your heart, right? And this trends, because if you go to Jeremiah 17:9, you'll see, go ahead. It's a little slow. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Where does deception come from? Not your mind. You're not deceived there. You're deceived in your heart, which is also where your thoughts are, right? And then Mark 11:23, again, more correlation. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt where? In his heart. Fear. Doubt. It's not a mental battle. It's a heart battle. You see that? Your thoughts in your heart. Those doubts, those fears, those concerns come out of your heart, right? That deception, the wickedness that is contained in there, all come from the heart. And the real problem is here is that many, many believers in Jesus Christ take all of the things that the heart is the factory in the dealing of these matters, and they credit it to the mind, and they think that the renewal of their mind is going to fix the problems that their heart is the problem of. And so you pour into a mind renewal lifestyle. I need to renew my mind because I'm struggling with fear. So I'm going to pour into God's word because that's what I know. I need to wash my mind with the washing of the word, right? And that's how I renew my mind. So you pray and you pour into God's word and you're looking to have your mind renewed, and then you're still dealing or struggling with fear or doubt, or you're struggling with a thought life that doesn't line up and you're wondering why. Well, there's your answer, because the renewal of your mind is not going to fix the matter of your heart the way you're trying to fix it. You're dealing with the wrong part. Our thoughts, our ability to judge, which is where doubt comes from, right? Because doubt is basically a motivation of a negative judgment. These things are what we believe that when we have our mind renewed is fixing, even though they exist in our heart. And so when we examine this problem, right, we think that the renewal of our mind means that my thoughts are being transformed into the image of God. How are your thoughts being transformed in the image of God? Where are your thoughts dwelling? In your heart. Who has your heart? Christ, right? Christ is supposed to have your heart. The transformation of your thoughts comes into whether or not your heart is fully surrendered to Christ, not whether you're agreeing with him in your mind. It's a status. It's a statement of your choice. Jesus and his precious gift to us, Holy Spirit, are in control of our hearts and the thoughts of it. And the only way we exhibit the controllessness of our heart is whether or not we have surrendered our hearts fully to Jesus, and we submit to the conviction of the Holy Spirit when something is not aligned with what Christ has called our hearts to be in. So if your thoughts are not on things that are high above, right? What is that a problem? That's not because you're thinking about something else in your mind, right? Because that's not what your mind's supposed to be doing. It's called, you have put something else more precious in your heart than Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will convict you and tell you, this is taking up more residence in your heart. You're not giving what is supposed to be Christ to Christ. And that requires us to surrender. Amen? Also contained in the heart is our desire for wickedness and pleasure. It holds on to pride over humility. But the mind is in charge of something else altogether. The mind is like a business that deals in exports and imports, which I started this off with. It takes in all the things that we consume on a regular basis, and it inventories it. And what's an inventory? Do you know what an inventory is? It's a catalog, right? Of everything that is currently being stored in a location, whatever that may be, right? whether it's in a warehouse, a factory, you know, on shelves. You know, usually right around January, a lot of businesses, they take inventory of all the stuff that they have so that they can see how much they have, you know, still remaining of things that they have used or consumed over the course of the year, right? Inside that inventory is not just things that have been received, but it's also things that are going to be delivered, right? Or exported out. What that inventory is like is, it's likened to wisdom. It tells us what is doing good and what is not doing good. And we can see trends in that inventory and we can make adjustments to those trends, correct? Like a good business would do. But as I stated at the beginning, if the business is importing more than it's exporting, it is not running efficiently. It's running at a deficit. And that's the reason why our mind needs to be renewed. The way I like to determine this is basically your mind needs a new CEO. Right? Because if the person in control of the mind is running the mind at a deficit, thinking that we need more stuff internal, even though we don't have the funds to continue, that business is going to soon cease to exist. And this is really interesting because one of the biggest problems that that every human being in the world deals with is stress. How does stress build in a person? It's dwelling on things, concerning itself with matters and things that have weight, right? That we put on ourselves. Do you understand that a lot of the reason why we have an excess amount of stress is because we have not exported stuff that is of no value or is no longer usable or good in your life? But the Bible is explicit on how to deal with that, isn't it? What does the Bible say? How should we deal with anything that is consuming us? Give it to God, right? Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Cast your cares upon me, right? So if we understand that and we know that principle, that's an export principle. Or in certain cases, it's a, this is actual garbage that is sitting in here in this warehouse and we just need to throw it out. Because it's taking up space for something that is better. Because we might have imported things that are of no value. You may have imported things into you that have negative value. You might be like, what do you mean? Well, let's put it to you this way. If you run a produce department and you imported a bunch of bad cantaloupe, do you want to keep that cantaloupe? Why? Not only does it stink and rot, it'll ruin other produce. It brings in parasites. It brings in bugs. It creates more problems the longer it sits in your inventory. Right? It's eating up prime real estate, but it's actually causing more problems in other areas of your inventory. And so if we don't deal with those things correctly, a renewed mind will sit there and an unrenewed mind, excuse me, will continue to tell you, but it's still good. The reason it's saying it's still good is because expenditure was made on the cantaloupe. And it needs to be returned in order for you to feel like you've gotten enough out of it. And so how many people hold on to bad ideas or bad thoughts or bad thinking in their heart, thinking that this is going to turn around eventually for my life when it has produced nothing but negative constantly and has built stress upon stress upon stress because you're still hoping that eventually it'll come out for positive because you're in an unrenewed state. Your mind doesn't look at things the way it's supposed to. It's looking at a self line of return versus a God line of return. And the reality of it is that if it's not producing a profit of export out of you, then it's actually not of value. So this is where we're going to go. And if you would turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. And it's a handful of verses here, Ephesians 4, starting at verse 17. We all there? Yeah? Okay. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So here's some things that God showed me in this. First thing is that your understanding being darkened. What is that? What is your understanding being darkened correlate to? It's not deception. It's something similar though. It's ignorance. It's ignorance. And that ignorance will lead you to export more of the product that is not good or not profitable, but make exceptions for the continuance of it so that you can continue to import something that's of also less value. Okay, I will say it again. This will lead you, that ignorance will lead you to export more of the product that is in you, that is not of value, but you look at it as though it is doing it mildly something, right? But it's only being exported out of you so that you can use it to validate the need to import something else that is also of lesser or no value. And this standard that you have adapted in you that continues this process, right, this business of your mind, is based out of what your heart supplies. And if your heart is not fully surrendered to Christ, the supply of your heart is actual garbage. You have to recognize the person who you used to be does not have value in the kingdom of God. Apart from Christ, we are nothing. Right? That doesn't, I don't understand if maybe people here need a different understanding of what that means. How much is zero worth? If you go to the bank with a check that is written out for zero, what are you getting out of the bank? Nothing, right? So if we translate the utility of our being, our existence for God, if it is apart from Christ, what are we doing? Nothing. We are doing literally nothing. And so that's where this comes into line. Okay? This is why we immediately here in the scripture get hit with that reminder that we have Christ and so that should not be. Isn't that what it said? Right? I'll find it again. But you have not so learned Christ, right? If indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you should put off these things, right? You shouldn't be in this state. If you indeed have Christ, this should not be your existence. What this means is that if we have garbage coming out of us as a main export of our mind, of our life, then we have two failures in us. Right? So think of this as somebody's coming in and they're evaluating your business. I'm reminded of Jeff Dunham. What do you do? I'm a business analyst. A business analyst. Fascinating. You are a business. It's just one of the things that popped in my head. But if I'm a business analyst and I'm looking at your export and I'm looking at what's coming out of you and I see that there's nothing good coming out, I am going to look at that and I'm going to go, well, there's two failures in the business right now. What are these two failures? One, the first failure is that your heart is not fully surrendered to God. It's not fully surrendered to Christ, and it doesn't trust that his ways are actually better than your ways. You don't fully trust that God's ways are better. You don't fully trust that giving God everything that you have and everything that you are means that your life will be much improved. You believe you still have a thing to say. You believe you still have a right. You believe you still have a case or an argument as to what should or shouldn't be going on in your life. That's problem one. Problem two is that your mind is not renewed. You still believe that what you are exporting is good, even though the fruit of what you are exporting is returning nothing back. If I have an inventory of 1,000, think of something that's mildly expensive right now. Meat. I like that. Let's use ground beef. I have 1,000 pounds of ground beef. Fresh ground beef. Okay? And I need to export that out. And if I sell 1,000 pounds of ground beef for $12, I made a lot of people very happy, but I did not get good return on that, did I? Especially since the value assumed of ground beef right now is around about what, $8 a pound, which is extortionarily high. I just want to point that out. So if I'm supposed to be getting a much better return on that investment and I'm not getting that, something's wrong, correct? So here's the interesting point. If the mind is being renewed, we would catch the iniquities that are in our heart. If you have a renewed mind, you will recognize, the renewed mind recognizes that the factory of what is being produced to leave out the export good that is supposed to come out of me is not good. So it would come back and say, hey, what's going on in here? The thoughts aren't righteous. The thoughts are thinking on things that are not supposed to be. You're in doubt. You're in fear. You're concerned about things that are not in your realm of control. Why are you trying to control the why and the what? Why are you consumed with things that are not of value? The mind would catch it and it would recognize it. And that deception that the heart is trying to pull over the mind is because it is interested in something else in return. And I find that to be the number one factor to why either we do one of two things. We either avoid renewing our minds because we want to stay in that darkness or in that ignorance, right? Because we want to continue to export what we're exporting because we actually want to receive the import we're getting in return. There's a value on something else to fill or consume our hearts than Christ. And so we invest in it. And we actually shut down the factory of the mind, the business, that's in charge of pointing out, this is not profitable. That becomes a garbage in, garbage out business. And now here's the other factor that comes along with that. I find this in Christendom more so than in the world. So the practice of just taking in garbage and exporting garbage, that's a world practice, right? But you know what happens in Christendom? We have unrenewed minds. that will take in garbage, but we have this body of people, this standard that we're surrounding ourselves with that goes, well, you shouldn't, and you're not supposed to, and that's not good, and you shouldn't do that. And maybe you have a good pastor that tells you, that's not good. Why are you doing that? That's not good behavior. You should stop doing that. And so you know what you do? You go, you're right. I'm going to stop exporting garbage, but I'm not going to stop taking in garbage. Guess what you start to become? A garbage depot. You literally become filled with garbage because you're still taking it in, but you know that I can't export this. Well, guess what happens when the garbage depot fills up with too much garbage? It's going to explode out the front door. And you know when that happens? At the most inconvenient time. It happens to your children. It happens to your loved ones. It happens to other people that you're not supposed to. Or in the worst case scenario, it happens when you're in a place where you're supposed to be a good representative of Jesus Christ, that he has sent you on a mission from God to go and witness to the lost. And what's coming out of you is just filth and garbage. All because our minds aren't renewed. The expectation of my heart is that it's deceitfully wicked. I should know that the garbage factory is going to try to still produce garbage. I have to surrender that. That's true. I have to die to myself. That's true. I have to get the garbage out. Thanks be to God that he's good at dealing with my heart. Amen. But if I'm trying to do that and renew that and fix that, my hands aren't good at doing that. I don't have the capacity to take a stony heart and make it into a heart of flesh. I don't have the ability to do that. So why do I continue to try to do it? Do you see the issue? We're trying to fix the problems in our life that Christ is supposed to be the one to fix. And the part that he's given us instruction on how to fix and to fix, we ignore and don't do. Because we think that I'm renewing my mind and what you're trying to do is renew your heart. You're not renewing the right place. So getting back on the system here, right? If we are still focusing though on what we're exporting and trying to stop, you know, I'm trying to prevent the export of the garbage that I'm taking in, right? But I'm still taking in the garbage. Well, that's a problem too, is it not? So where does that go? Where does the garbage go? Does it stay in my mind? No. What do you do with the import? I'm going back to you, right? You worked in the port. So the import comes in on a truck, on a boat or a truck, right? It comes in and then it goes into where? It goes into a warehouse, into a storage, right? And then eventually it's going to go into the internal, wherever it's going inside, right? But that's still technically all internal, right? Okay. Where it goes, once it comes off of that boat, it's inside now. It's in the interior, as we would call it. All right. That is our heart. And so when we take that in and we allow those things in and we bring them in and we store them, we're bringing them into our heart and we're saying, here's where you need to reside now. I'll find use for you here. And it'll go through and do whatever it's going to do. So we'll intake a whole bunch of different things from many different places and sources, and then we'll process that through our inventory. But here's the problem. We end up doing harm to ourselves in this way. Because the renewed mind did not see that that product coming off of that ship was not good product. It didn't recognize that the shipment was coming from a place that it shouldn't be coming into our interior from. It doesn't recognize it. It doesn't send it back. This is really interesting, but one of my least favorite places to shop now, side note, is Amazon. I can't stand it. Do you know why? 90% of the inventory is from China. Now, it's not that I don't have, like, China doesn't produce, I mean, I'm sure there's things they produce that are decent and good, but a good portion of it is not. It's made very cheaply, it's not made well, and it's gonna break, and it's gonna fall apart, and you're gonna have to replace it quicker and quicker and quicker. And not to mention, it's not helping the country I'm from grow and stabilize and do better in its economy. It's helping another country that hates me. So how many times do we take in things from sources that absolutely hate you? And we think that it's going to go and give us value when all it does is disappoint you in the end and leaves you wanting for either more or whatever. And here you are struggling on the other side of it while they are taking advantage of you. And here's what's interesting. And I don't know if you caught the cycle, but that import, that inventory goes to where? Your heart. What do you think it's going to do once it's a part of the internal network? It's going to circulate and it's going to affect your export. What you now are responsible to produce in Jesus is being tainted by the import you took in. And the mind that is unrenewed didn't catch that this was now coming through. And then it invades your system, and now it permeates into your export. So now it dwindles or it lessens the impact that you were supposed to be having with your product. And I understand I'm using terminology that is not technically spiritual, but it is. If you understand what I'm trying to bring to the surface as far as what our mind is in charge of doing. So this brings us to the bigger picture now, okay, as we bring it in. If we have a heart that is not surrendered and believes that everything that we take in is okay and that it'll all fix itself eventually, right? It then believes that things are under control and that what we do doesn't really matter in the full scale of things. When everything that this Bible tells you is contrary to that. So where does that then lead you? It leads you to a place of understanding that an unrenewed mind will entertain lies from the pit of hell over the truth and veracity of God's word. This is why the renewal of your mind requires the washing of the word of God. Because the only way you're going to combat the lies and the deceptions of the devil is with the truth of God. Do you see that? This is why it's not changing your thought life, okay? It's not fixing your thoughts. It's not changing how you think in your heart. It is changing the evaluation of whether or not what you are taking in is of value and is good, and what you are producing outward is good. That's what this is doing. And if you think back to what I left off with at the end of last week, the what and the why, think about the what and the why. And in the truth of the Word of God, what is contained in there? The what and the why. Every what and why as to what you are to be doing and why you're to be doing it is found here in the Word. Amen? We call it Bible for a reason, right? B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Your instructions on what you're to do and why you're to do it. Yes? All right, so if that's the case, and I'm in a cycle. I just noticed it. I'm going back and forth between you two, and I don't know why. I don't know why I am, but I'm ping-ponging. I have to, like, zone out for just a small moment. But if we are focusing, okay, on what God is telling us to do in His Word and why He's telling us to do it, and those factors are the reason why we are importing the things that are necessary for our internal to function and work as God has designed it to, right? That means the what inside me is changing. I'm allowing the what that I'm required to be in Christ, the things that God has designed for me to conform into his image, being transformed into the image of God, right? The why is the, when I am exporting now, what is coming out of me, why is it happening? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? It has correlation with the why and what God has set as the standard for my life. Why are we supposed to go and testify to the glory of God what he has done? Why are we supposed to bring the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ to those who do not know him? Why are we supposed to love one another as Christ loved the church? Why are we given instructions as husbands? Why are we given instructions as wives? Do you ever wonder why? Because this, in default, doesn't do it right. If you think about your active behavior before Christ, it was in direct opposition to everything God has said and designed for you and how you're supposed to live and operate and function. It was. It was in the entire wrong direction. And we categorize that as, well, that was just my sinful self. That was my old self. Well, then look at what Ephesians is talking about, right? That renewal of our mind is the embracing of the new man. That's the new CEO. That's the guy who's now telling you, hey, that doesn't come in anymore. That's of no value. We're not taking that in anymore. That's cancer to the heart that is trying to be transformed into the image of Christ, that is trying to have its thoughts set on the things that are high and above. This is something that God just brought to me, and this is really amazing. Where is the power and the movement of the word of God coming out of the people of God that is doing the miraculous works of Jesus Christ? A lot of people believe though those things are Old Testament, or those things were done with the apostles, right? That's all that stuff, right? That garbage. I don't buy into that. You know what I buy into? The reason why? Because the heart hasn't taken in enough of the things of God to believe in itself that God is in control, and God speaks to me and enlightens me that when I speak the things of God, they happen. I can't export what I don't have in. I don't have it. So if I'm not in taking enough of the good things of God to have it built into me with enough belief invested, which isn't about me having some intellectual, thought-changing, radicalizing, oh, I read the word enough, now I got it. No. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, what are you taking in? And if we're not taking in those things, it's not going to come out. It's not there. It doesn't exist. Getting back on track. Sorry. But not sorry. If we continue to exist, however, with an unrenewed mind, and we allow these things to come through our heart that are not beneficial, right? We're going to have a heart that's not surrendered. And we're going to believe in these lies and these fictions that things are going to be fine, right? That everything comes out okay. It'll believe that we have everything under control, when in reality, you have nothing under control, because you're not the one in control. Nor should you be. You're not trustworthy. Right? It'll hold on to grudges and feelings, and it'll make decisions, critical life decisions, based on a moment rather than the future thought. These are things that you can register and see in your personal life and go, is this a factor? Am I seeing that in myself? Am I seeing this come around? Have I had this? Has this been an issue where I've had this thought or I've had this problem? That should give you a telltale. Your mind's not renewed. The unrenewed mind looks to import that which satisfies the heart and export that which feels right in their own eyes. But that's not what we're called to. We're called to have our hearts surrendered and for our thoughts to be thinking on the things of God. Like I said, the things that are high above. Amen? And our hearts know that This is what our hearts know. Our hearts understand this concept that but for the grace of God, there go I. Right? Our hearts know that internally. And so what they'll do is they'll work in forgiveness and they'll lay their plans before the Lord so that they can have Him order their steps. If we live and breathe in this way and we agree with that is the method through which a renewed mind will operate, we will see that the effects of that, the actual transformational effect that Romans 12:2 talks about, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That is a metaphysical transformation. That is not I'm not thinking about these things anymore. Transformed means the person who you were is not the person who is currently standing before me today. There is not just a physical change, but a manifest of how you are impacting the community, the environment around you change. That is effective. Right? And we see that in the Bible when it comes to the fruit of our lives, how we're grafted in and why we're grafted in and the expectation of us to produce fruit. And if we're not producing fruit, we're broken off and cast into the fire, right? These are things that we know and we understand that that's part of our new makeup in Christ Jesus, but that's still predicated on us having a voluntary role, right? Because this is voluntarism, right? You made a choice. You weren't forced to come to Jesus. You made a decision to come to Jesus, right? Nobody here at gunpoint was told to accept Jesus. That's the other faith. They do that. We don't do that here. We say come. We have cookies. Cookies and Jesus. But if we combine these facets with our renewed mind, right? That is what will transform you into the image of Christ. Who then, from our hearts, works outward of you the plan that He has prepared for you? What does that mean? So this comes down now to the, what does this actually look like? Because I noticed this, and I don't even need this anymore. What does a renewed mind actually look like? I've been setting the tone for now 2 days, and I think it's time to just rip that band-aid off. Does a renewed mind require you to spend time in God's Word? Absolutely it does. Now, I've already laid out the reason why, right? Your only combat against the lies of the enemy and the lies of the devil is through the Word and the truth of God. Amen? All right. Why? Because He will use the Word of God to confuse you to believing that what you are doing is righteous and good for God, but He has twisted one part of it and has made you the person who's in control, not God. In order for you to know that and to rely on that, you have to know what He is saying. Amen. But the truth of the renewed mind, if we go back to what I stated in the beginning, it's getting rid of yourself as the CEO of your mind. You are not the one who is in control. And you got to get this through your heads. You have to get this through your heads. You never were to begin with. You're thinking about your mind in the wrong realm. You're thinking about your mind as though it's about the things that you think about. It's about your family and your intentionality and your desire to do this and do that and how you do your job and the things that you think about on the regular. That's not what that's about. We talked about that. That's in here. That's your heart. So what is your mind doing? What does your mind actually do? No. Your mind is very much a system. It functions without you knowing. It does everything that you have to do to live and breathe and all things without you having any control over it. The one facet you don't think about is the fact that your mind controls so many systems in your body that you don't have any control over at all. Right? If I said, make your heart stop beating right now, you don't have the authority in the realm in your mind to control that, do you? Right? You can't stop breathing, even if you wanted to. People have tried. Hold your breath. You will eventually, because your brain goes, we're not dying today. Stop it. I need oxygen to survive, and I'm not ready to turn off yet, so breathe. You can't do it. Okay? What we have decided is that the mind has authority and control over things that it doesn't. And we have basically created a fantasy, and this is really important you get the idea of this, a fantasy realm that we call the mind, that we give a bunch of credit to things that it doesn't have credit to do, and we have made it a domain that we are the only person in control of it. We've given ourselves a title, we've given ourselves a throne, we've made ourselves ruler over that domain, and in that domain, we decide that this is what it's in control of. And we think it controls what we think about. We think it controls what we do with our lives. We think it controls all of the things that the fallen man, once not surrendered to God, did. And what happens when we come to Christ is we take that and we make a small little kingdom of our own that we hold on to, because we think that there's still value in the old man. And we have given a lot of control and a lot of authority to ourselves over realms and areas that are supposed to be surrendered to God. And we think that that's the mind that needs to be renewed. It's not even real. It doesn't exist. There's one mind. There's one heart. You're not a freak. You don't have two brains. You don't have two hearts. Right? So, therefore, what you are calling the heart, or what you are calling the mind, is actually the heart. And so really, the fantasy world you built up and said, this is my domain that I still get to have authority and control over, because I get to control my thoughts. I get to control these things. It's actually your heart, which means who's not on the throne in your heart? Christ is not in the throne. You're still there. And so here's really where this comes down to. A renewed mind, a real renewed mind, recognizes who's not on the throne. If your mind's unrenewed, guess what it does? It entertains that you're the one in control still. But a renewed mind goes, I don't want to be in control. And I'm going to say that again. A renewed mind goes, I don't want to be in control. I'm not trustworthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I don't have the authority. I don't have the power. I'm not going to make these changes. I'm not going to do what's right in your sight. A renewed mind receives the what and the why from God and makes sure that the heart is in line to do the what for the why. I'll say it again. A renewed mind knows the what and the why and makes sure that the heart does the what for that why. And the results show in the reality that what comes in is good for you, is wholesome, is building you up, is encouraging you, is edifying you, is calling out those things that are dwelling within you to come out of you. And it calls out those things that are not of good that are in you to die. Think about when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Why did he curse it? Because it wasn't producing fruit. Do you understand he wants to do the same things in your heart? But you haven't told him that he can do it. because you're still sitting here on the throne thinking you have control to say and do what that is controlling. But if your mind's renewed, you don't have control. It isn't about what you think. It's not about what you think's best. It's about what he thinks is best. If that means he's going to curse that to dry up and die, then so be it. There's a reason. Why? Because it doesn't belong there and it's not producing fruit. So that the end things that come in are good and wholesome for your life, and that you are producing more of God out of you than what you are taking in. That's the truth. That's what we're here for. That's what a renewed mind looks like. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, Father, I just thank you for what you are preparing for your people. I thank you, God, for what you are doing here. I pray for each one listening, God, that they would receive this word, that they would sit before you. They would allow you to fully examine their hearts, God. Take this slowly and bit by bit, but that they would embrace each step of the journey. They would trust you. They would trust in your word. They wouldn't just listen to pastor and just take what pastor says, but they would find the truth. They would seek it out and find it in your word and know that you are such a good father, that your love and your compassion and your care for your people goes beyond our selfishness, goes beyond our pride and our ego. You see us for who we truly are. You see the finished product in us, and you bear with us with patience that we cannot even understand or comprehend. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your continued patience with us. We thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy upon us. And we pray that as we go about this day, Lord, that we would continue, God, to come before you in that place of surrender, recognizing that we have no authority or control that is not what you have given to us. We give it all to you, and we lay it at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you still need prayer, I will still pray with you. I have no qualms with that. But if you do not, and